message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
So I said a lot of things at the beach with God that I know no one else heard except me and God. There's a great opportunity. But this was the pit stop that I want to talk about here. It is this fantastic sunset. And I want you to know, and it's kind of hard to see it, but or maybe you see it with the definition that the picture was initially taking, but there's no filter or no effects on that photo. That was the event as it was happening. Now, if I asked you to describe to me or explain this sunset, what would you say? Peaceful? What else? Calm? Beautiful? Spiritual? Some of you might pick out the colors, right? Some of you might notice that little hut out in the water. You might actually kind of explain some of the beach, but the truth of the matter is, peaceful, calm, beautiful colors, objects. If I said explain a sunset, it's a lot harder than you initially think, isn't it? Oh, a sunset's beautiful. Well, there's a lot of beautiful things. A sunset's peaceful. There's a lot of peaceful things. A sunset has this calm water and this nice beach and this hut out there. It doesn't really explain the sunset with the definition that we want. Now, if I got into the science of it and I said, well, a sunset occurs when this happens, and then all of a sudden our eyes get this glossy over thing and we're like, and it kills the moment. We're like, that's not a sunset. I know that's the science of a sunset, but that's not a sunset. And then all of a sudden we start having this thought that if it was about colors and it's about how you feel and it's about what the science says, the truth of the matter is, I have to be on that beach to really tell you what that sunset was like. Right? I gotta be there. Now, there are some sunsets that happened after that day that are, I'm sure, are more beautiful. And there are some sunsets that happened after that day that I'm sure were not as beautiful. But the reality is, that was a singular moment in time that will never happen again. That moment. Never will happen again. I can guarantee you the water will never look like that specific way again. And so it is also, with that sunset, is revival. Revival is one of these things that we all know what it's like when we're there, but it is really hard to explain. Like my sunset. You know you're in it when you're there, but it is kind of hard to explain. It's hard to even define. And what it starts to create is this moment where you and I have to think about this in a little bit of a deeper way, a deeper avenue. Within a strictly spiritual context, let me ask you, what is revival? The word may conjure up manifestations, experiences, outpourings. It may even create this idea of national or international, worldwide movements. And perhaps revival comes down to its simplest definition, where you have a personal renewal. Maybe it's a tent meeting on a hot summer day that reminds you of revival. And maybe it's some kind of controversial event that brought with it a lot of what happened there. And was God really moving then? For many of us, revival is just as hard to explain as a sunset. But when you're in a revival, you know it because you're there. You know it. You know it because you're there. And you know what else is interesting about a revival? Certain factors had to be in place to create it, just like that sunset. Reality is, the moment of revival is captivating. And when you're in it, you want to capture it. And you want to be captured by it. Now, the reason I'm making this point is because here's another interesting factor of revival and sunsets. My sunset was taken in a picture of chaos. How so? Well, what you're looking at right now is a beautiful sunset. But you know what happened earlier that day? A 0.5 earthquake was felt on our beach. I was sitting on a deck chair, and all of a sudden, the chair started going like that. And I was kind of half asleep, and I'm like, my chair just moved? And then when I found out later that day, people were putting on Facebook, did you feel that earthquake? Now, I had danger very close by, even though the picture of serenity was right there. Right? Just a few hours later was that sunset. Guess what? In revival, it's the same thing. Revival has certain conditions happening around it, and chaos is one of them. When there are things going wrong, desperate people, danger in the water, we cry out and say, Abba, Father, help! And the conditions start getting stirred for an outpouring, for a beautiful sunset. Now, biblical history, modern recorded history, have given us all noticeable trends and conditions, even down to the spiritual attitudes of people when revival just, and I'm putting this in quotes, pops up. But you know what? Revival just doesn't pop up, right? It doesn't just happen. It's a God-orchestrated moment. Conditions occur. And the results are, when revival occurs, in the immediate after effects of revival, there can be a lot of debating of how it happened, when it happened, and what it looked like. But the reality is this, there were ideal circumstances that were all moving at the right time, and then is outpouring. And I will tell you this, the Bible is very clear, and this is part of this journey that we're going to be on for the next couple weeks. The Bible is very clear. There are biblical principles that we need to explore together that will tell us when certain conditions are in place and you step out in faith in Him, you are positioning yourself for a transformational moment. There's biblical fact that proves that out every time. And I will tell you as a side note, we are living in incredibly chaotic and uncertain times. We are living with incredibly chaotic and uncertain people. And we are living with an incredibly chaotic and uncertain church. And I think all of that indicates one really exciting thing in the scary, which is this. Conditions are getting right for God to pour out again. But, that doesn't negate God, but we have to be on the beach. Sunset. I'm going to explain that in a second. If one makes the claim, now here's where the hard is going to come in, guys. Brace yourself. If one makes the claim to be a Bible-believing, born-again Christian, then one cannot say that this world and our faith is not in need of revival. Let me say it again. If you say, I'm a born-again Christian, and I believe in the whole Word of God, then you cannot say, my life does not need revival. Sure, we can talk about past times of endearment, cynicisms, and even ritual, but we can do nothing to create the atmosphere or conditions of being transformed. Listen, I did not do anything to create that sunset. I didn't. But I positioned myself at the sunset. Experience it. Now let me tell you what happened that day, besides the earthquake. We had gone off the beaten path, traveled to this area. It was a long day of travel. We got there. We spent the whole day there. We were all tired. Jeanette and Zoe decided to go back to the room. And Joshie and I, my son, were sitting out there and the sun was starting to set. And we're out there by the pool, which was Clip Beach, and we both started noticing it. And so we walked out and we started taking pictures. Neither of us are photographers, and we're not even really into that, but we noticed there was a moment. I asked you a question. What if I said, I'm tired. I want to go back to the room too. Let's see this on the cable TV. Get in the air conditioning. Whatever the excuse was. I would have missed that moment. Never would have gotten it back either. I would have experienced another sunset somewhere else. But that moment would never have been captured. Never would have experienced it. Never would have been able to even tell you about it today. Now you see where I'm going with this. Let me tell you, if we do not nurture the conditions of revival and the atmosphere in our life, here is the result. We become a lazy, incompetent, and detached Christianity, as well as a lazy, incompetent, and detached Christian who has little regard for the message of Jesus, His Word, and we have less regard to really live it sincerely, even though we say, but we're Christians. Did you grab that? If you don't position yourself for it, then you're going to position yourself to be sitting in the hotel room watching cable TV and the air conditioning and miss the moment altogether. But the moment happened nonetheless. I loved this statement. I came across it the other day. We are all, hey guys, we are all past the day of talk. Talk is cheap. To quote Charlie Chaplin, he said, "Words are cheap. The biggest word you can use is elephant." Get it? Get it? Elephant. Big word. Elephant. Words are cheap. And we got a lot of people who like to talk elephant. Elephant Christianity. Elephant Christian lives. Oh, I'm all for Jesus. Come on, Lord. Do something big in my life. I want a refreshing. I want an outpouring. I want to do great exploits. I want to see your glory. And the reality is we are nowhere even close to the beach. And the glory's out there. And then when we say, oh, I don't know what's going on. Where's Jesus? What's happening? The world's all chaotic. I don't hear His voice. And we're not on the beach. We're looking at our checkbooks. We're looking at this. We're looking at that. We're looking at all the things and all the distractions. And we're saying, Lord, help me. And He's saying, I'm on the beach. Where are you? And we are in here and not up here. I stand here today with you, and I am pleading with you. And if I thought I could sit here and beg you and kiss your feet, if that would change your hearts, I would do it. But that's a heart condition in your life. It's a heart condition in my life. So my words are words of pleading with you that we need to all begin the laborious work of preparing the conditions for revival to pour into our lives. You need to prepare the conditions to experience the revival we so desperately need. We need it in our personal lives. We need it in our community of faith. We need it in our community of Franklin. We need it in our state. We need it in our nation. We need it in our world. And we need to be the ones on our end who do the work of preparing the conditions. I find myself, and I'm going to be really honest with you guys, and for those of you who know me, you know I don't hide stuff. I am so desperate for change in my life. And I'm not talking just about cosmetic changes like I need new scenery. I am so desperate for spiritual change that I have realized after pastoring a fellowship for 7 years, I had made a critical mistake, which was this. I thought I could do ministry without ever needing revival. Catch that? I thought just coming up and talking about Jesus and acting a little bit like Jesus and speaking a little bit like Jesus and having my Bible in my right arm and showing up on Sunday at 10:30 and never thinking I did not need to position myself for an encounter where I could be radically transformed by the Holy Spirit, I could somehow get by. Get by on just doing things the old way. Status quo. Here I am 7 years later. Not because the church is big or small or anything else, realizing, you know what? What we all needed all along, every day in our life, was a real encounter with Jesus, a real revival happening individually, corporately, and then bleeding out into our world. So, you try to do it yourself, right? And here's what ends up happening. You sit in the room. You hear the pastor speak. Can I tell you something? In 7 years, if you've been with me that long, in 7 years, you never heard me once preach about revival. Guess what? I didn't care to think about it, nor study it, nor have it happen in my life. And I know a lot of you in this room, I'm yet to hear maybe some of you ever issue off your words, Pastor, we need revival. Which tells me it's probably not been on your hearts, your thoughts, your lips, your mind, your prayers also. Which means You, like me, have been trying to walk through this life, living this life, not thinking how much I or you or us may need revival. Revival, for a lot of us, is like some fantasiful hope and imaginative thing out of a Dr. Seuss book. Wouldn't it be great if it happened? And wouldn't it be great if we experienced it? And wouldn't it be great? And this, that, and whatever. But we really don't believe it or think we need it. Sad. Sad. And so we come and we play church. We come and we speak the words. We go through the motions. And we wonder why nothing changes. Because we forgot Him while trying to do His word. I'm not talking about fabricating some kind of move. I'm not talking about creating a cult-like frenzy for Franklin. I'm not talking about anything more than saying there needs to be a heart cry from deep within each and every one of us that we want a true biblical revival to reform and refresh our stale walk, our dead practices, to clean up what is not working in what we call the American church experience. Let me tell you something, guys, in case you don't realize this, but if you do, you're going to only reaffirm it. Western nations are experiencing a moral bankruptcy. And sadly, the church, in large part, is contributing to the decline. Where people are in the house of God and are no longer any closer to even being a place where revival can be birthed once again. Because people are not desperate or hungry anymore. But they're in church. There's no desperation from the pulpit. There's no hunger from the pastors. And there's no desperation and hunger in the pews. We're in church on Sunday, in some cases. And the nation is capitulating and sinking even deeper. Something's wrong. Is God at fault? Sunset happens. Every evening, the sunset happens. But not every evening are people at the beach. So, what am I saying? We all have time and energy and affection and money for everything and anything because we want to set the conditions of our life. But we sadly have the time, energy, and affection for the things of God. Church doors are open. Optional. Giving to the house of the Lord. Never. Occasional. Random. Sporadic. Not at all. Prayer on Saturday morning. No time. Tuesday, study groups, busy. Men's fellowship, oh, inconvenience. Women's fellowship, even more inconvenient. Whatever the excuses become, we put ourselves out of position. Constantly. Constantly. But we have time for everything else. I'm going to take a vacation. I'm going to go this. I'm going to go there. I'm going to hit this. I'm going to hit that. Let me tell you something. Can I just really be honest? We've become so used to a Christian walk without revival, we thought it was okay. We've become so used to a Christian walk without revival, we think it's okay not to have revival. Well, that's good that someone else has revival. I don't need it in my life. You don't? Don't need revival? You don't need an outpouring, a refreshing? You don't need to get back in fire with Jesus? Now, in our Tuesday groups, which is so awesome, by the way, in our Tuesday groups, we've been praying for the past 2 weeks, and I'm just going to be honest with you, because no one fabricated or orchestrated, and for those who were there on Tuesday, you know this is true. We have been praying for miracles, and we have been praying along this vein already. And we have left that room on Tuesday night saying, whoa, I don't know when it's going to happen, I don't know how it's going to happen, but something did happen tonight that got us a little bit closer to that, what we're praying for and believing for. So it's not just something I'm talking about now. You know, let me tell you, we need to be praying for a fresh, God-given passion for Him. Look at it. You want to go on my Facebook page? You're going to know where my passions are. You go on my Facebook page, if you want to be my friend, you're going to know what my passions are. My politics, you're going to know. You're going to know about my spiritual issues and faith and anything else. You're going to know about my humor. And you know what? If I go on your Facebook page, I'm going to know exactly where your passions are. We got people who are posting everything and anything that makes them passionate and tick. And a lot of us have very little content about what God is doing. So, I was in Puerto Rico, posted a lot of pictures of what I was eating and where I was at. And what I was doing tomorrow, we all need to get off Facebook. I'm not talking about that literally. Listen, we need to get off Facebook and stop posting our passions for this world and start posting our passions for God. John Armstrong said the following, and I quote, "Passion, if it is truly born from God, is born and nurtured in an atmosphere of truth. Truth is birthed and fanned into a flame by the clear understanding of the Bible and its message of covenant and grace. Ultimately, the Word of God, used directly by the Spirit of God, is the only proven means for bringing about reformational revival in our time, which is desperately needed." End quote. You know what we're hearing today? Truth. Not because I'm talking about it. God's Word. I'm sharing with you about me, because that's about as real as it gets. But I'm not sharing with you about me to get you off the hook. You know where you're at. I know where I'm at. And I'm telling you, I was as cold as a dead fish pulled out of the water sitting in an ice box. Where are you at? Where are you at? Okay? I woke up and realized when that person spoke to me about what God had shared with them personally, that we needed an outpouring, and that's what sparked in me and said, "Joshua, you're cold and you are lifeless and you're not looking for revival in your life." And I said, then I got to get back to where the beach sunset was. I had to start praying. I had to start adjusting things. I had to start moving things around. I had to purposely start getting the conditions set to say, "Lord, I will sit on the sunset beach. Whatever it is you're saying, and whatever you need to say to me, I'm on the beach ready to receive." Perhaps one of the most stern messages I've given is right now. It's really a heavy message in some respects, but I pray you don't hear any anger in my voice. I'm not mad. I am desperate. I'm not mad at all. I am desperate. I'm desperate for real change. I'm desperate for real change with me, and I am desperate for real change in your life. Scripture has given us a litany of examples and principles that are in revival, and by using the biblical text, we're going to be exploring those things in the next weeks to come. But let me ask you this question. When Isaiah said in Isaiah 64:1, and I quote, "Rend the heavens and come down, O Lord," what was Isaiah praying for? What's he praying for? The prophet Isaiah. "Rend the heavens, O Lord, and come down." What was he praying for? Revival. The nation needed it. He needed it. And it was desperate times for Israel when he was prophesying in those times. Are we saying what Isaiah said? Is that coming off our lips? Are you going to get in the car after this service and get in the car and before you put on the radio or put on your Sirius XM or put anything on, before you have one conversation, are you going to look to the roof of your car and look through the roof of your car and say, "Rend the heavens, O Lord, and come. I need it. We need it. Desperate. We're past desperate." Let me leave you with this final thought. Now, I want you to consider this, and I want you to pray on this. Ask yourself, are you going to embark on this journey of revival? This is not for the casual. This is not for the big talk. It's not for the cheap talk. And it's certainly not for inaction. This is not time for excuse making. It's not time for complacency. Because we must face this real tension in the question, which is this. Does revival come from God? And if it does, what's my role in encouraging it? If revival is truly from God, what's my part? Okay? What I'm discovering is this. And I said discovering. Not have discovered. I'm discovering. God is sovereign. Yes. But we have a responsibility. Sunset will be there. I have to be on the beach. We are all preparing to go on a journey to discover revival beyond definitions, beyond historical accounts, and we hopefully will leave this whole journey in an active pursuit of God and having revival really in our life. And so what I need you to pray for, and what we all need to be praying for, is this. Lord, if revival poured out right now in this room, this second, it's too late. Not that I'm not grateful, but it's too late. We need a revival to already be pouring out. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's not too late technically, but it's like, Lord, tomorrow is too late. I need it now. Next week is too late. I need it now. I need the refreshing now. I need to be walking in the outpouring now. I need it in the victory this second. If I leave this room and I walk to my car and I don't sense that I'm going to be stepping toward the sunset where revival will be found, then it's too late. If my passion meter is zero, and I'm like, well, boy, Pastor was really on fire today. He was mad. He was stirred up. He was angry. Was he preaching to me? I'm on fire with Jesus. I'm comfortable with my walk. Are you? Are we so cold to our Christian walk that we get in the car and say, that was great, but I have no need for that? then you will miss the sunset. And I will tell you, you may never get it back again. I would never have gotten that sunset if I wasn't out there to snap it. I am begging you, change the conditions of your life to position yourself to encounter a real change. Now is the time. Tomorrow, if you miss it, is too late. And if you get in your car and think, I was just really mad today, so I had to really yell a little bit extra loud, then you missed the point. I am pleading with you. Do not let one more second of your life go by plastered to anything else in this world before you once say, Jesus, I need revival in my life. What do I got to do? I am cold. I want to be hot. For those who will abandon all and join this remarkable journey, I know God's word is true, and it says that if you trust on the name of the Lord in the time of trouble, He will breathe on you, and your times of deserts will bloom again, and He can revive you even in the driest of seasons. So I am again close with saying, please do not miss this moment. Don't miss it. Don't. That's your choice. Amen. Next week we're going to pick this up. We're going to go forward. The God was down for us all. What you do with this?
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyan was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.